Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven by the will of God the Father. And the question in that song is, who will follow His train? And then, of course, as we continued on singing, the world became a place where Jesus Christ was hated and crucified, and that He gave up His life on that cross for each and every one of us. And the question was, who will follow His train? And then Jesus appointed 12 apostles, and those 12 apostles came, and they were mocked as He was, and they were treated terribly as He was. They were martyred, and who will follow their train? And now that song turns to each and every one of us, and we ask that same question as we live through this life and we are challenged and we seek to climb that ascent up into heaven's gate and we deal with the peril and the toil of this life. Who will follow our train? I think it was an excellent song that Brother Matt chose for the lesson today, and I'm thankful for those thoughts that came to our minds. Of course, we're dealing with the church. That is our theme, and it shall be for quite some time. And in the near future, I hope to introduce a short series on 1st and 2nd Timothy, even though I'm going to use part of 2nd Timothy today, but not necessarily in the same way. I'm really focusing on one verse. But we think about the words of the Apostle Paul and what came from his mouth to Timothy concerning elders and deacons, where the Apostle Paul said, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That is exactly what we are, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And he goes on in verse 2, and he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And that is exactly what our job is. And I realize that many people look at this particular text here, these first 5 verses, and they think, well, that only applies to Timothy. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, we're all Timothys. These words that were given to Timothy most certainly do apply to every member of this body. And we need to heed that as we take this lesson. Keep that in mind. And that is to say that the Church of Christ is the pillar and the ground of the truth today. The Church of the Living God today is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And whatever the church has today belongs to God. And the pillar and the ground of the truth is in the possession by God to every child of God, which Timothy was and we are also. In the text that we read that was read earlier in your hearing, at verse 4 or 2, that's exactly what we're being told. Preach the word in season and out of season. And why is that so important? Why is it critical here? Why did Paul say this to Timothy? To be ready in season, out of season, to convince, exhort, rebuke, or rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and why is that so important? It is important, and Paul gives the answer if you look in your Bibles in verses 3 and 4. For the time will come, the Apostle Paul says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come then, according to their own desires. That's how they will be turning. They will, because they have itching ears. Because they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Those 5 things are 5 reasons why the church today must heed these words and take careful consideration. And in our lesson today, again, I mentioned verse 5. That's where we'll glean most of our thoughts from. The Apostle Paul said, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And I want you to understand, those words apply to us. They apply to us. We must be sober-minded ourselves. We must tell other people about Jesus Christ. Would you deny that? Would you deny that we need to devote ourselves to the work of the church completely? And the question is, are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we doing the things that in here and in here we know we're supposed to do? Are we performing the work? Have we been convinced that fulfilling our ministry can be accomplished in ways other than the ways which God has laid out? And I want you, please, to have your Bibles open to the book of Revelation, and we will be working from there in a moment, chapter 2 and chapter 3. But first, I'd like to provide a little illustration. You know, there's a game that people played when they were young children play, at least when I was young we played it, and it's called hide and seek. The object was for a group of children to count one person, and that person would stand with their eyes covered and they would count to 100 while everybody else sought some place to hide. And the one counting, when they were done counting up to 100, they would say the words, "Ready or not, here I come." And then that person would go out seeking those who had hidden themselves. And everyone who was found was counted out. Everyone who didn't find a hiding place and was spotted immediately, they were counted out. And I say this as an illustration to the fact that Jesus is coming. We need to make sure we understand. He will come. He will judge us. He will judge the world. And that will happen whether we're ready or not. When that moment comes, when God decides, when the end comes and Jesus Christ comes from heaven with all the archangel and all the hosts of heavens and the trumpet sounds, it's too late. It will happen like a thief in the night. And we need to be ready. Because ready or not, here He comes. Ready or not, Jesus Christ will be here. Ready or not, you will stand before the Lord your God in judgment. And we need to think of those things very soberly. We need to look deeply into our hearts today, ask some very hard questions. Because ready or not, He's coming. And know this, when He comes, there's no place to hide. And we need to understand that in a very serious way. You know, in our lesson today, we want to focus just on that kind of thinking. Are we ready? Spiritually speaking, when Jesus comes, the question will be, are we faithful or not? That's the lesson. Are we faithful or not? And I'm not only talking about an individual. The majority of the lesson today will be focused on us as a church, as a local church, as the Church of Christ in Bedford. Will we be found faithful? You know, another example is, when Sharon and I, whenever we travel, we always, whatever city or town or state we're going to, we always look for a local church before we leave. Because if we can't find one, we just simply don't go there. And there's a place called the findthechurch.com that I often use. And it's interesting because what you do is you type that in and this page pops up. And then you go to this search button up here, which you can't see that, but that says search, and it brings up another page, and on that page you go down to this other button and you click which state you want to go to, you click go, and it brings up all the faithful sound churches in that state. It shows 51 in Ohio, And if you'll notice carefully, which again, you can't read that, but it says Bedford. Bedford Church of Christ, Bedford, Columbus Street. And so that's one way to do that. But you know, the problem is you can't depend upon that, because after we go through all this, the first thing I do is pick up the phone and make phone calls. I try to talk to the preacher, one of the elders. I ask questions about what they believe, what they teach, how they practice, how they worship. And I can tell you firsthand many times that I've asked those questions and I've gotten answers that caused me to look for another congregation. And so we can't trust. We need to investigate and be sure. It's important that we understand this clearly, and that when we read about the churches in Revelation today, just a couple of them, we need to understand that, and it may surprise you that not every church that has Church of Christ on the building is a faithful church. That name on the building doesn't make them faithful. And yeah, I did say most. The fact is, and I'm assuming the math is right, maybe Brother Johnny or Brother Randy, somebody that really understands, Sister Deidre, can make sure I'm right, but of the seven churches, I counted only two that were actually listed as faithful, and if I did the math right, that's 78% unfaithful. And that kind of parallels the world of churches of Christ. Again, there was 51 on this website in Ohio, it said, but honestly, I know for a fact there's thousands of church buildings that say Church of Christ. And so keep that in mind. When this local church is examined from heaven, will Jesus instruct the angels to say to the Church of Christ in Bedford, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants"? We want to look at just two examples from the book of Revelation. And we'll begin with the church at Ephesus, the loveless church, Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. And you look at this particular church, and what we want to see here is, as we notice this, and let's just begin reading, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience, you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the life in the midst of the paradise of God." As you listen to those words, think about the compliments that Jesus gave this church. You notice in verse 2 that the compliments and the words and the phrases, this church was a debating church. This church debated false teachers, especially false apostles, and when it found those to be false apostles, it marked them as such. This church, if you notice, there are terms like persevere, patience, labor. They became weary. Or they did not become weary. Those are great compliments to a church, especially coming from the Lord Himself. This church was a very real, a very sincere, a very genuine church. And today you might even use words like that church is on fire. And without doubt, they were involved in the works. They were involved in this teaching and taking care and protecting the church from false teachers. But still, Jesus did not count them faithful, because they left their first love. Jesus, the question is, again, will He find us as a church, a loveless church, like that in Ephesus? Would Jesus say to the angels, write to the church in Bedford, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Is that what we expect to hear? Of course we don't, but we need to think, and we need to meditate, and we need to be honest and sincere. Are we doing the work? But what does that mean, though, when we talk about they left their first love? For one thing, as we think about that the members of the church they're very spiritual, but they're simply going through the motions spiritually. Oh yes, everybody attends services regularly. They give money from the things that God has prospered, and they perform token efforts of good works. Their worship, though, is in vain. That's the church in Ephesus. Remember verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. When you think of that particular church, it sounded like a church that was on fire, but something happened. Sadly, just before a church falls, one bad thing usually happens, and that is the fingers begin to move. You know, sometimes when a church is failing and they blame everything, point to everything else under the sun. You know, our church isn't growing because this isn't like the day of Pentecost. People don't listen like they used to. You know, if I only had a better preacher, our church would just grow by leaps and bounds. If we only had good elders, our church would grow. If we only had other elders, some churches might say, our church would grow. If our singing was better, people would stay. If we didn't have that arrogant brother or sister, I wish they would just leave and our church would grow again. Boy, I wish so-and-so brother and sister from that other congregation would come here because they're so great. People would love them and our church would grow. And the only if-onlys in the world, all of them, every single one, only one of them can help the church to grow. Because all the if-onlys in the world are powerless and meaningless. They only serve to cause more trouble. They compound the trouble in the church. And evidently the church in Ephesus, they had it all. But the Lord still said they left their first love. And listen, you can't fall, right, from something that you weren't at. You remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, the Lord says. You can't fall from a place where you weren't before. So He's talking about members of the church that were faithful at one point, and they have forgotten or left their first love. You know, there's a phrase that I wish I had never heard, and I've heard it so many times in the years that I've been preaching. And it breaks my heart. It really does. I hope to never hear that again. And the phrase is quite simply this. I remember a time when this congregation used to have to set up chairs in the aisles to support the number of people that came. We had to work to build a bigger building to support the number of members that we have. I remember a time. Think about those words and how damning they are. Right? If only. So a church can be doing many things right, like the church here that's described, but still be counted unfaithful. And that's something I want you to think about today, and we're going to bring that out. Jesus found the local church to be a compromising church, the church in Pergamos. You see that in your beginning in verse 12 of chapter 2. The angel would say like them to the church in Bedford, repent or else I will come. I will come to you quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. You see that in verse 16. We don't want to be like the church at Pergamos. And it's very important to notice that in those two examples, the church of Christ was established on sound doctrine. They were both a church of Christ, a local church. We need to realize that. It wasn't a denomination. They didn't even exist. It may have been a church, like Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, that I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. But it's not a different gospel, but there are some who pervert the gospel of Christ. It could be that, that perverted got in there. But the bottom line is they were a faithful congregation, a church of Christ, founded and established by the Apostle Paul, most of these, no question. And so let's look at another church. If you turn to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation in chapter 3. I got too far here. Revelation 3. And so, actually, I wanted to mention this. The if onlys that works. It's if only every member of the church would remember from where they have fallen, repent, and do the first work. That's the only if only that works. Think that one through. We need to look at ourselves in that mirror. And we need to see what we are not doing as a church. See the things we are doing. Rejoice in that. But look and see where we have fallen from. Where what we have left behind. And repent and do the first works. Alright, Revelation 3. And so this is the church at Philadelphia. And it's called the Faithful Church. That's what we want to be like. When we read that, verses 7 through 12, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. I see you have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command and persevere. I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Think of those words. the compliments. He says, I know your works. Right? I know your works. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. He says, because you have kept my word, my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Great compliments. This church is remaining faithful, even though it's a trial, even though it's a very difficult time for them, even though they're being the devil's coming at them from every direction. They keep doing the works that they were called to do. The church in Philadelphia was clinging quickly, hard, fast to the word of the Lord, even in the face of bitter persecution. And they continued to do the works. They continued to be obedient in the face of all of those trials. That's the pattern for the church to follow. This church. That's what we want to hear from Jesus on that great day when Jesus comes to take His church back up into heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. And we want to Jesus, we want Him to say to the angel, write to the church in Bedford what we read in verses 8 through 12. I know your works, you church in Bedford. I see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and I have not denied my name, and have not denied my name. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What a wonderful thing. To say, we are the Church of Christ in Bedford, and the Lord is pleased with everything we do as a church. Remember the theme here, as a church, are we doing as a church? In verse 12, to the church of Bedford, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. We'll be in heaven. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. We will see the face of God. We will see the face of God. And listen, he's talking here, when Jesus comes, he's talking about the universal church now. When all the churches that are on the face of the earth fall into this category, we want to be there with them. We want to be part of that spiritual body, which is the bride of Christ, not the adulterer that we talked about this morning in Randy's lesson. We want to be the bride of Christ, faithful and true, obedient to our husband, our master. And I want to be in that number. I think you want to be in that number. And that will only happen, my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. That'll only happen if we remain faithful. That only happens when we do the work we are called to do. It only happens when we're obedient to the Word of God as a church. So I want to expound on a few things, speaking of things that we do. That actually, you know, there's a lot of things we can do as a church that we can still be unfaithful. For example, a local church may hold fast to the teaching and preaching accurately of God's Word. You know, remember Acts chapter 18. When Apollos, he was fervent in the Spirit and he spoke and taught the Word of God accurately, it tells us. And yet, he had something going on that was wrong, and Aquila and Priscilla they heard him and they took him aside and they explained to him the way of God in a more perfect or more accurate way. And we understand he changed. We want to realize that that can happen. You can have a church that is preaching and teaching and still not be found a faithful church. A local church requires what chapter verse, Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Everything we do in worship, everything that we do as a church, book, chapter, verse. If I do something, I want to be able to open the book and say, here's why I do it. Brother Randy served us, officiated over the table this morning, and he read from the Bible. We have authority for the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We have authority for the collection on the first day of the week. Everything we do in worship, prayers and preaching and teaching, the Lord's Supper, all that, singing. We have book, chapter, verse for what we do. And anything that's not in the book, chapters and verses, we don't do. And so a faithful church can do that. We can do all the acts of worship accurately and still not be a faithful church. And the church of Christ here, a church can be a church that is just known for their love. And they show great hospitality. Every member of the church loves every other member of the church. Always inviting people into their homes, always having Bible studies, always having dinners, always working together, always seeking one another in love. And they are taught love by God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. And the church can still be an unfaithful church. The church members can give generously, cheerfully, like the saints in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They went beyond their ability to give, and they were willing to give themselves first to the Lord and then to the saints there, the apostles, by the will of God. You can read that. But they still can be an unfaithful church. Members of the local church can have perfect attendance. Wouldn't you like that? Every member is here every Lord's Day, every Bible study, every morning, every evening. Perfect attendance. And still not be a faithful church. We read in Acts chapter 2 and at verse 46 of a church at that time that they all believed the same things, that they had all things in common. And they continued daily with one accord, verses 44 and 46. But they still could have been counted as an unworthy church. And when you think about that, the local church, they could have the best singing, sing with understanding, sing with the Spirit, and still not be a faithful church. They can have the best prayers and not be a faithful church. They can have the greatest reputation on the face of the earth as a church of Christ and still not be a faithful church. They can have the name Church of Christ on the building and still not have or qualify to be a faithful church. I want you to think about those things, because we can do certain things that are faithful things, things we must do, but it's the things that we don't do that we will be judged for. Every church of Christ that is faithful will wear the right name. But listen, not every church wearing the right name is a faithful church. And that's a very true statement, and it's worthy of your attention and your meditation, because here's the problem. In this world, the most destructive thing that's being taught out there is one church is as good as another. Doesn't matter what church you go to. One church is as good as another. In fact, when I was working on this, I had typed in something about the churches of how many churches of Christ are there in Ohio, and I got an article that said that we have too many churches, we don't need any more churches. And they went on to talk about how churches are near empty, and even if a church is full of 200 people, there's millions more out there that are sitting at home watching the football game. The church isn't needed. There's some bad teaching going out there. And one church is not as good as another. And we read that in the book of Revelation. We can see these two churches that appear to be faithful, and we see the rest, the five, who are not. And that's another lesson that we will have if the Lord wills. In any of all, any and every one of these things that I just mentioned, they could be true about any church, any given church, and that church can still be an unfaithful, illegitimate church. Our goal is to be taken up into heaven, right? Our goal is fixed on eternity. To be with the Father, to be with the Son, with all the hosts of heaven, to finally see the face of God, Revelation 22 and verse 4. And when you read today's bulletin, you'll come across some words that the Apostle Paul said, and those words are very clear. Does not the potter have power over the clay? Romans chapter 9, verse 21. The fact is that God is our Creator. God is the Almighty God. God and Christ, they have all rule in heaven and earth. There is no one above them. We are all below them, and we were created to serve Him. That's why we're here. Brother Randy mentioned Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 in his lesson. We're here to serve God, to fear God and keep His commandments. That is man's all. Are we doing that as a church? These things all apply to us as individuals, but now, you know, we are talking about a church here on the earth, formed and created by God, established by God, from the mind of God, and it has specific functions and things that the church must do to be faithful. And I want you to be thinking hard on these things, because we need to be faithful. And if we are faithful in everything, this church will grow. This church will survive, it will flourish. You know, I have to believe, as far as it goes, every individual member of the body of Christ in this room right now could spit off the three works of the church. I think everybody here could do that. And I think we have to answer the question, are we doing those three things as a church? Are we pawning that off to someone else? Are we just ignoring it altogether? Or are we doing those three things as a church? And we full well know what those things are. So, are we faithful or not? Are we working and striving together for those three things? And we have to answer that question honestly. Today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the next few weeks, we need to be thinking and meditating on that. What am I doing as a church? What am I not doing as a church? And we have to answer those questions honestly, knowing full well that God already knows the answer. God already knows. The seven churches of Asia, God already knows. Before the judgment came, they're written here. Before the day of judgment, it's written there. Before Christ comes back to take up His church, it's written here, the two that are and the two that are not. So God already knows, and we need to make that very clear. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. He already knows. Before I speak a word, you know what I will say. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And He says, for My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from My face, nor is their iniquity hidden from My eyes. God knows exactly what's going on in this church and what isn't. And I know this is hard to hear, possibly, but it needs to be said. Maybe this is one of those out-of-season messages, but we're talking this year about the church, the pillar in the ground of truth, the church of the living God. And that's what we want to be the rest of this year, and even greater, more so than we have been. So if the answer is yes, wow, let's just keep on doing what we're doing. We're doing a great job. The message is getting out there by the church. People are hearing. Great job. If the answer is no, then we have to come together and resolve that as a church. Because if we don't, we continue on that same road. If we are lacking something in the work of the church, we need to eliminate everything that's sin, and we need to grab hold of everything that is in harmony with God's Word, eliminate everything that's in discord as a church. And so before you answer the question, yes, we are a solid, sound, faithful church. Before you answer that yes, I want you to consider the final lesson, or the final question. In our lesson, are we as a church doing the work that God has called us to do? We all know the three works, right? Every church of Christ has to be involved in benevolence, involved in evolved in evangelism, evolved in edification. And it's important that we understand that we have a unity of the Spirit, that bond of perfection, that we are all focused and determined to be involved in the work of the church. We will be studying that more in another lesson, but for now, we just need to understand. It's important that we have that unity. We must not do more than those three things as the work of the church, and we must not do anything less than those three things if we are to be a faithful church. But we need to be careful. We need to understand and listen and apply this information. If we are not doing those three things as a church, benevolence, edification, evangelism, then we are not a faithful church of Christ. Yes, we are faithful in our worship. Yes, we are faithful in our love for one another. Yes, there's many things that we're faithful in. But if we lack those three things, or any one, then we're not faithful as a church. So again, the question is, are we or are we not faithful? Are we involved? And that's what that means, by the way. When Paul said, do, fulfill, there was an implication. It involves, we have to be actively with effort and exhorting energy in benevolence, active and with effort exhorting energy in edification, active and exhorting effort in the evangelism. Are we active, exhorting, and exhorting effort, energy? Beloved, this year, I hope that we'll continue thinking about the Church of the Living God here in Bedford, the pillar in the ground of truth, and what it should be doing, not in these walls, but also outside. Let's strive to be faithful. Let's strive for that unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace that Paul talked about. Let's strive to follow the instructions and the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the apostles like Paul or through James or through Peter, and do the things that the Lord's commanded us to do in a more perfect way. I do have actually one more question. Are you subject to the invitation? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized in the water for the remission of your sins, immersed into death as Christ was dead and buried, and then being raised up by the full and powerful operation of God to walk in newness of life? Have you done that? Have you done what Jesus has called us to do, to believe and be baptized? Or is there any question at all in my life, your life, our lives, that we haven't been doing the things that we should have been doing all along? Those are questions that you alone must deal with. And if you have a need, whatsoever that need may be, we have a song of invitation to sing right now, song number 793. Please come forward today as we stand and as we sing.